Father, we thank you for this morning. We celebrate, we honor you, Lord Jesus, here today. You are alive. We recognize your presence here with us now today. Lord, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your brokenness. We thank you, Lord, for enduring the shame of the cross, that for many of us we might have life, eternal life in Jesus. And we pray for our friends who are here today, who, Lord, may be strangers to the grace of God, to the forgiveness of God that comes in Jesus. And may this time today, as we celebrate and honor you, Lord, you are among us, and we recognize your presence, though we do not see you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you did, that we might have life. So now in these moments, as we open your word, we pray that you might help us to celebrate, Lord, joyously. Help us to celebrate joyously from deep within us all that you have done, that we might have life. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the singing and the praising and the worship and the opportunity to be together we've had all morning long with many who have come our way. And we pray your rich blessings upon each one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, how about that? Was that not a blessing? Amen. Well, good morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll take and find Luke chapter 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's the third of the books in the New Testament, and I hope you have your copy of God's Word as we're here gathered at First Baptist Church celebrating today life in Jesus. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, we are certainly honored to have you. We hope that you will come back and that you will be with us, and we would love to get acquainted with you and to meet you. My wife Pat and I will be back here in the back, and we'd love to see you at Guest Central. It gives us a chance to say hello. If you're here with your families, if you're visiting from out of town, we're very happy to have you, and may the Lord bless you for being with us. So this morning we're celebrating, church, what you probably won't hear much about on the news today. We're celebrating what, for the most part, the world doesn't really care about. It's similar to what we're reading here in Luke 24. While Jesus made his appearance, look, Jesus was dead and buried. The disciples were in great sadness and despair. It was over. It was hard for them to even remember what Jesus said, that he would be raised on the third day. They were in utter sadness. They had run away. Most of them didn't even know where the tomb was at. The women, thankfully, stayed along and found and knew where the tomb was at. But just like in the day of Jesus, when what we're about to read here today, I want you to remember this. Why, Rome went on with its government work. Pilate had other tasks. I mean, after all, he's working for Caesar. You got to get your work done. Caiaphas and all the priestly order, they were just glad because it was kind of like, well, you know, we took care of that. Jesus, he was such an obnoxious cause of problems around here. And so the Jewish traditions and the work of what was going on at the temple went on. Life went on. People trying to do their jobs, their work. It's the first day of the week. Sabbath day is over. The women had prepared some perfume and ointment because Jesus was dead. Jesus was dead. There was remorse and sadness and shock. But then Jesus started appearing, started showing up among his disciples. Oh, Pilate didn't get a visit. Caiaphas didn't get a visit, nor the council. But his disciples, they got multiple visits because Jesus was alive. He was alive, just like he is alive today. I'm not up here telling you a story, a mythological story, a little made-up thing to make us feel good. Why, many, many of us got up today and we spoke with Jesus before we came. We just sang, the Lord is here with us. Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? You see, when when I say that, some of us really believe that, and there's something deep inside that's joyous. For some of us, it's kind of like, okay, let's get on with this. You know, I mean, we got eggs to roll today, and we got stuff to do, and you know, we've all dressed up, and I got to get back to things that really matter. So today there are two groups of people here: those of us who have surrendered to follow Jesus and confessed Him as Lord, and believe. Are you listening to me? And believe that God raised Him from the dead. And there's a whole other group saying, "Well, let's just move on and let's get past this." This is kind of what we do in the South down here. We go to church on Easter. Well, today I want to talk about something, you'll see it as we read it here in just a moment, that's true. You know, when you celebrate, and inside there is just a special feeling that you have around celebration. When children are born, there's just a special feeling that takes place. When you celebrate a hard-won project or victory in your life, you're just something inside of you that's beyond happiness that just secures you. And I want to talk today about the joy of Jesus that those of us who know Him celebrate, no matter what life brings. No matter what life brings. Look, I've been doing this a long time. I wish I could say that every day you're going to have is going to be a good day, but it's not. I wish I could say that every day I was going to have is going to be a good day, but it's not. But I found an answer for the high and good days and the low days that levels them all out. You know what it is? It's a relationship with Jesus and the joy of knowing that Jesus is alive no matter what happens in my life. Is that not good news? That's good news. So let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, and let's read together this account of the gospel. We're going to read in just a moment verses 50 through 53, but I want to go back and read, and you'll have to take your copy of God's Word to follow this along. Here is Luke's final recording of the final appearance of Jesus alive to His disciples. While they were talking, that is, there were two men that met Jesus on the road and had an unbelievable experience with Jesus on the road, traveling to be with the disciples. Well, they're telling their story, and all of a sudden we read in verse 36, He Himself, Jesus, stood in their midst, and He said to them. What does Jesus say? What does the living Jesus say? He's saying the same thing in this room today. Are you listening? Peace to you. Peace to you. But they were startled and frightened. Notice their emotions. And they thought they were seeing a spirit. And He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Arise! Why do they arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet? It's I, myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. Now notice verse 41, their emotion. While they still could not believe it because, look at this, of their joy and amazement. Joy and amazement. Now they were turning. They were starting to, their sadness and doubt was starting to change to joy and amazement because Jesus is right here with them. And Jesus says, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and He ate it to show them, "I'm really alive. This is my body. I have a glorified body, but I'm here with you." He ate the fish. And then He said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now pay attention to verse 45. Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, the writings. And He said, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day." And this is what we're doing today. "And that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be preached in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." We're a long way from Jerusalem, Israel. "You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then we read on the screen if you do not have your Bible. Now we read, and he led them out. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany. So many amazing things happened in Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While Jesus was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Please notice verse 52. It is our focus. They were worshiping him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. So, Heavenly Father, here we stand. Another large group of us here in this hour. We stand before you with our Bibles in our hands. Some of us needing to confess our sin, repent, and turn to Jesus so that we might have life. Others of us celebrating today, and the joy, the great joy, is inside of us. And we cannot explain it, but we thank you for giving us your joy so that we might celebrate real life in a world of brokenness and pain and despair. May we who know you be light to the world. May we be an example, and may we be Jesus to others as you have given us your word, as you have saved us on this Easter day. We thank you for all you do for us. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So in the accomplishment, a celebration brings accomplishment. I want you to see quickly. I want to make three observations from these words today, and I hope you'll think about it. I want to talk the most about joy in all of these. Joy, it's not happiness, church. People will sometimes say to me, Pastor Mike, I just wish I could be happy. Friend, happiness is up here, and happiness is down here. It just doesn't last. Happiness goes away. Some of you were happy when you got that new car, and now you just got a payment, right? That's what you have. It's not happy. You got that house, and you got a mortgage. You just, happiness is here, and it's gone, but joy, this is important. I struggle with the language. Some of our words in English are so, happiness and joy are not the same. And I want you to see the joy here that underlies these disciples. They were having this joy that was coming over them because Jesus was alive. And Jesus is still alive. He's alive. So the world won't say, look, Easter, as far as the world is concerned, the news and everybody, it's over. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about. We got stuff to do. We got places to go. We got people to see. We got important matters to deal with. So the resurrection, so what is that? Jesus didn't even show himself to the whole world, only to his followers, 500 or so, who saw Jesus alive. And we have heard these words and read them, and many, many of us have believed them. So today we celebrate, first of all, joyously, something that not everybody has. Newness of life. So the old tradition, many of us have grown up this way. I grew up the same way. We buy new clothes and we wear them on Easter. It's good. It's a good thing. You, by the way, you look beautiful today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look beautiful today. Except for the men, they look kind of average. So it's our tradition. Here we are in our beautiful new clothes. Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed them. Look, Jesus blessed them by his presence. You know, Jesus is still blessing us by his presence. He's here today. He is here, though you cannot see him. He is here. He is moving among us. We seek to honor him. He is the one for whom we do all of this, not for one another. We do this for Jesus. Notice what Jesus did. He did this. Everywhere Jesus is, there's peace. Everywhere Jesus is, there's peace. I am always astounded by these words. When Jesus appears, why, if you would have been Jesus coming back from the dead, would you have said this? Why, you knotheads, what were you thinking? No, we wouldn't have said that. That's right. That would not be a good thing to say. But Jesus could have, because he kept telling them. Or he says, I told you, here I am. But that's not what Jesus did. Notice what Jesus says. Peace be to you. He pronounces peace. Wherever Jesus is, there's peace, church. You've got to hear me now. Oh, some of us in this room need peace. We are just churning. We're churning. We're worried. We're turning. Some of you didn't sleep very good last night. You're worried. Your tortured mind is taking you places. You're thinking about things you cannot get over. You are gripped in your mind, and your mind is terrorizing you and controlling you. You don't have peace. Listen to me. I'm standing here. I'm the preacher on behalf of the rest of God's people here. You know how you have peace? When you know Jesus. When you know Jesus, peace comes. He showed them his hands and feet. They touched him. They touched Jesus. Holes in hands. Hole in his side. Hole in his feet. They touched Jesus. He ate with them. He opened their minds to understand God's word. Look, these were fishermen and for the most part common men. They didn't have all the knowledge of the Old Testament, of all the Jewish religious leaders, and he opened their mind to God's word. And then he promised his power, which came by the Holy Spirit. If you know Jesus today and you're born again in here, we celebrate newness of life, because where Jesus is, we have a joy inside of us that's new every day. It's not based on how I feel about happiness. It's based on a certainty. So maybe joy is a glad assurance. Maybe that's a better way. A glad assurance. Whatever's coming in my life, whatever I'm facing, there's a newness. And guess what? Because I know Jesus, I can be renewed every day. My mind can be renewed. I can be a new person. The Bible says if anybody is in Jesus, in Christ, they become a new person. Old things pass away and all things become new. I have witnessed this my entire life. How do I know that Jesus is alive? Not only because I believe what the witnesses wrote in the Bible, but I have seen it in the lives of many, many people in my life. I have witnessed the change and the transformation and the newness of life that comes not only in my own life, but in the lives of many, many, many people. So today we celebrate joyously newness of life. Secondly, let me show you quickly. We celebrate today joyously the promise of life. Oh, I've just got to tell you. I say this to this church a lot. If you're a guest with us, I love to talk about all of God's word, but there's no words. There are no words like the red letter words. The red letter words. Look, I just flipped over in my Bible. I love having a red letter Bible with red letters in it. Well, I turned here to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 6. Every single word on this page, the words of Jesus. I'm so glad that miraculously God the Holy Spirit put in the minds of the disciples who followed Jesus while he was alive and teaching, and they recorded and wrote for us these words. Jesus said, listen, his red letter words are eternal. They're eternal. They're permanent. So we have in these red letter words the promises of Jesus. I've given you one here. One of the most amazing promises that Jesus made. Look at it. You know, life and death is before us all. You don't know how many days you will live, nor do I. Our times are in God's hand. I say this many times. I've buried people in the graveyard in small caskets, middle-sized caskets, and big caskets. You don't know how many days you have. I said it when I started. I wish I could say that all your days would be good, but every one of us, it is appointed for us to die. There comes a day when we're finished here, when all of life ends, all our relationships, it all stops. What will you do? Are you ready to live? And are you ready to die? Well, the way we come to be ready to die is to believe the promises of Jesus' words. Look, in chapter 24, 44, he says, these are my words. You can count on the promises of Jesus' words. Now, I can't always count on my promises. I can't always count on anybody else's promises. But I have found it to be true. I'm trying to make a confession in front of you. I have found it to be true in my life. Jesus keeps his words. He keeps them. So he says, listen, Here you go. Here you go. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me will live. Listen, he will live even if he dies. What a statement. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. He calls us to believe on him. So today, on this day, when we celebrate that Jesus is alive, we celebrate joyously. You know why there's joy in my life that can't be taken away by my circumstances? Because of the promises of Jesus. I believe his promises, and he keeps them. He keeps them. One last thing. Today we celebrate joyously the assurance that we have in life. You know, there's a lot of things. We want guarantees on things, don't we? That car you bought and you're paying for, you want a guarantee on it. When the axle falls out, you know, and the bearings blow up and whatever else you got to do to it, you want a guarantee. We want guarantees so that we have some assurance that something's going to come through, because we've lived in a world that lacks assurance. Nothing ever seems to come through. But listen, Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. He came through on his promise. He's alive this very day. He moves in people's lives. And all around the world, people celebrate joyously in all kinds of circumstances. I want you to see one more time. Look what it says in verse 52 of your Bible. This is my favorite of the descriptions of the ascension. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem. Oh, wait a minute. What happened in Jerusalem? 3 days before, on a hill, a rocky, messy place where criminals are crucified and put to death by the Romans by capital punishment, Jesus died. In Jerusalem, where all of the Jewish leaders spurned Jesus and rejected him, where the Romans thought this was a bunch of religious silliness, in Jerusalem, they go back to Jerusalem with what? Great joy. Listen to what Jesus says about joy. I want you to hear this as we finish. Jesus said, I have spoken to you that your joy may be full. And he said, I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. You know what happens when I follow Jesus? You know why I can have joy in my life, whatever happens? Because I have the joy of Jesus. The joy of Jesus comes to be inside of me, affecting my emotions. So when the trouble comes, I'm still joyous. When the good times come, I'm still joyous. Jesus said in another place, John 16, he said, your grief will be turned to joy. See, they were filled with sadness. Jesus said, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. Time's up for me. And you can't come where I'm going. You'll come later, but you can't come now. And in a little while, you'll be sad and I'll be away from you. And in a little while, you'll see me again. And he said, your grief will be turned to joy. Listen to what Jesus said. When a woman is in labor, she grieves. But when the child is born, she exchanges her grief for joy. There it is. This is a season of joy. This is a season of joy. I think about Peter and John. So not many days after this, in the book of Acts, we read, so the Peter and John go out and they start preaching about Jesus. They start talking about the name of Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus is risen. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. You come to church, we talk about Jesus here. Talk about Jesus, how to follow Jesus, how to love other people like Jesus, how to tell the world about Jesus. Say, well, what do they talk about up there at First Baptist Church? We talk about Jesus. That's the only thing we're talking about. We're not up here to entertain. We're not up here to, yep, there you go. We're not up here to celebrate people. We're here to celebrate Jesus. So we talk about the Lord Jesus. He is our focus. He is our occupation. So they're preaching Jesus, and the religious leaders, knowing better, said, don't speak in this name anymore. I often ask this question, why are people afraid of the name Jesus? Why are they afraid? And we're told at work, don't talk about Jesus. Somebody tells us at school, don't talk about Jesus. we go to some event, you can't talk about Jesus. Why are people afraid to talk about Jesus? What about this name? Well, they were preaching in this name. They didn't stop. And they were beaten. They were ridiculed and beaten, and they were set free. And I love what the Bible says in the book of Acts. It says that Peter and John went their way after getting a good beating. They were rejoicing because they had the privilege. They had the privilege of suffering for the name of Jesus. That's joy. Joy is not based on everything going good. Joy is based on something inside, a glad assurance that I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me. I am with Him. He is with me. Whatever happens in life, I have assurance. If my whole world comes tumbling down, God forbid something horrible happens in my family, I lose my job, I don't know what to do, my friends forsake me, there is a joyous assurance. There's a joy about the promises of Jesus. I hold on to them. Whatever comes in life, there's a joy about being made new every day. And because of that, I celebrate life in Jesus. So the life of Jesus becomes my life. So as we finish today, here's my question to you. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I want to make a confession to you. I want to make the good confession. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to all of you. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to make the good confession. I confess that I believe that God raised Him from the dead and Jesus is alive today. I make the good confession. And I make the good confession that the same Jesus who is alive and who ascended out of sight without a spaceship, will come again into this world that, oh my, does this world need some straightening out. Jesus will come again, and I make the good confession that Jesus will come again. But some of you can't make the good confession because you do not know Jesus as Lord. You've not been willing to say, all right, Jesus, here's all my life, and here it is. It's a big mess. If you can do anything with this, good luck. That's where it starts. So I want you to hear today, as we finish, how you might come to be saved. Some of you need to be saved. You're not, look, you don't have any peace. You're like, I said it before, but I'm going to use this illustration again, but for most of you younger people, you won't even know what this means. But some of you are like a termite in a yo-yo. You just are spinning around. You didn't get it, did you? Well, in the old days, a yo-yo was made out of wood. And if you're a termite in there, you go round and round and round really fast. That's the way some of you are living right now. Struggling, trying to find peace. You think it's in this friend or in this relationship. Maybe if you move over here. Maybe if you buy that. Maybe if you do that, you just can't. You can't go to sleep. You can't shut your mind off. You're tortured. You need to be saved. And Jesus died on the cross. You heard what the men said. It's still the cross. The cross stands in the center. And oh, by the way, the cross is empty. Jesus is alive. And if you will call on Him, He will save you. I don't think of any better message to give you on Easter than this. If you will turn from your sin, you will be forgiven. And you will experience what I'm talking about. Inner joy like I cannot adequately describe because Jesus is alive. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed, I want to give you an example of how you can pray to be saved. This is the way you do it. It's not the only way to do it, but it's a way that you can do it. For some of you here today, this might be the most important thing you'll hear in this whole season of time. This may be the day your life turns around. We speak to Jesus like this. If you need to be saved today, pray these words quietly as I speak them out loud. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I confess my sinfulness. I have harmed and hurt people in many ways. I have said things I should not say. I have gone places I should not go, and I have done things I should not do. I am a sinner. And I come to you as a sinner, and I confess, based on what the Bible says, that Jesus, you are Lord. You are in charge. You are alive, and I believe that you are alive from the dead. You've been raised from the dead. Save me. Change me. Make me a new person today. In Jesus' name. So when you pray that prayer, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe by faith that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So for some of you who are here, you prayed that prayer. Now you must tell people what you've done. Maybe you've prayed that prayer recently, but you've never told the church. Well, that's what we want you to do. We do this. This is our custom. We stand, and many, many hundreds of us have done this in our life. We stood in front of a crowd and said, I'm not ashamed to confess Jesus. Well, you need to do that this morning. You say, oh, Pastor Mike, it's Easter. There's too many people here. Ask your friend to come with you. But if you need to do that, you need to come and confess before men that you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you need to join this church, if there's some other spiritual decision you need to make, we invite you to do it. Let's stand together.